94.5 The Zone. This is the Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Second half of the show is here. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. They are open for you. Edley'sBBQ.com. Nashville-style hot pulled pork available every Friday, 12 Southeast Nashville, Sylvan Park. Time for the VolQuest Power Hour with Brent Hubbs and Austin Price of VolQuest.com. Always on Fridays at 11 a.m. Love having both on, and plenty of news happening in Knoxville, Chad, as we say hello to the duo from the best Vol site out there, VolQuest.com. Gentlemen, hope you're doing well.
Good morning.
We're here.
Midday.
There. That's right. You guys are here. That's what matters. And the Tennessee coaching staff is not there in Knoxville because they're headed to California to try to convince Henry To'o to stay. You guys have the report there at VolQuest.com. What is going on that front, best as you can tell right now?
Well, Jeremy Pruitt is headed west. All Vol fans woke up today, and I think some of them thought today would be the day that Tennessee made a change, and instead he's headed for California with his defensive coordinator, Derek Ansley, with new defensive assistant, Kevin Steele, and, former Vol and former De La Salle standout, who was part of the administration there at UT as a player development guy, Kevin Simon. So they're headed west right now in the air as we speak to see Henry and his family. And it just boils down to, Henry really wants to come back to play in Knoxville, but the uncertain future of Coach Pruitt and staff has left him wondering if that, is the best place for him.
Is part of the sales pitch, well, I guess, twofold here. Kevin Steele not a part of this trip?
No, he is.
Okay, he is part of this trip. So Kevin Steele's piece of this, where he'll be working with linebackers, we assume, and how he can help Henry To'o, but also, is this a sign? Everybody's looking for signs and trying to read tea leaves here. Is this a sign that Jeremy Pruitt will be back for 2021, that he's making this trip? I would assume to tell Henry To'o, I'm going to be your coach in 2021?
I don't know, Brent. I mean, I think that that's the way it comes across. That's the way it presents. But, until somebody from Tennessee comes out and says, hey, the investigation, we closed it, Coach Pruitt's back, I think everybody's still going to wonder, what the future holds. But again, how this trip presents, it presents as if, Coach Pruitt is still Tennessee's head football coach, right, Brent?
Yeah, and Tennessee, I mean, look, Tennessee's got themselves in a corner, and there's not a lot of wins. There's not a lot of ways that you win in this thing right now. And I mean that by saying this. This trip to see Henry T has been scheduled, okay? Jeremy Pruitt was planning on doing this or talking about doing this a week and a half ago with Henry T, okay? So the To'o's are planning on Tennessee being there on Friday. Jeremy Pruitt goes before investigators yesterday for an extensive period of time, which we'll get into during the hour. So is Jeremy Pruitt supposed to pick up, or Tennessee supposed to pick up the phone this morning and say, Henry, we're not coming? Well, then that tells Henry, I don't need to come, right? That they've made a decision there. If you go out there, which they've done, it presents to many people that, hey, that means Jeremy Pruitt's coming back. But as Austin just said, I don't think anybody believes that to be 100% true. Look, nothing counts until the chancellor says something. Okay. That's where I'm at. Okay. What we reported this morning is what we know to be true. And that's this plane with these guys on it are going to see Henry To'o. What does it mean? I don't know, Chad. I don't know what it means, but until the chancellor said something, everything's speculation in regards to Jeremy Pruitt's future.
The last time we had a plane out west, John Curry was called off the road and called back to Knoxville. So we'll see what happens with this one.
Bev Davenport said, stepped in my office.
The difference here is I think everybody at UT knows that this plane is gone, okay. Unlike John Curry's trip.
So Mike Leach isn't meeting on a park bench somewhere. Remember the text exchange that was released? I'm right by a shade tree in a park bench. Come see me. It's a big orange sunset.
Yeah. How unusual is a trip like this for a current player on a roster?
Well, Austin, I think this is the new norm. And this is the new part of the transfer portal. And this is the new, you got to re-recruit everybody. And Jeremy Pruitt, as we mentioned in the report that Austin and I had this morning, he had already been to see Craverius Crouch and his family in North Carolina last weekend. He visited Wanyama earlier this week to try to get him to not go in the portal. He obviously went in the portal. I think this is the new norm, because I think you got to go back with the transfer world out there. I think you got to go back there and re-recruit guys. And I think that's what we're living in.
There's no de-recruiting anymore. You know, when Phil Fulmer was the head coach here, you recruited a kid. Once he signed, then you had to de-recruit him.
Yeah.
There's no de-recruiting. You have to continue to recruit kids, you know, when they're here. And realistically, the one-time transfer, even though it was tabled earlier this week, everybody expects it to eventually get passed, whether that's a month from now, 2 months from now, whenever. And so when that happens, to me, the power all of a sudden really shifts fully into the hands of the players, at least if you've not transferred before. Maybe once you make that first transfer, you lose some power. But if you still have that in kind of in your hip pocket, I think the power lies in the hands of the players more than it ever has. And it's the thing to do to get the transfer portal. We've talked about that ad nauseum. And, you know, if you're a team that's not having a lot of success, any good players you might have, you know, all of a sudden they're going to start getting poached. Like, even teams that are good, that are like the quarterback at Liberty, the quarterback at Coastal Carolina, you don't think that schools are, you know, not finding ways to get to those kids and going, hey, come play at this Power 5 school here. Hey, come there. That's absolutely happening out there. Now, they can do it above board because, again, it's not illegal for Sam Howell to call Quavarius Crouch and say, hey, man, come home, play with me. There's nothing illegal about that. For Mac Brown to make that call, it would be illegal. But for Sam Howell, another student-athlete, to do it, it's not.
So let's go into the macro. We'll get back into the micro with this team. Macro being the investigation, who the head coach will be in 2021. You guys at VolQuest have the report this morning about the interview with Jeremy Pruitt being conducted yesterday right after lunch up until 8 p.m. Eastern. He met with the investigators, the lawyers that Tennessee has hired to look into this matter. Do you have any inclination about how all of that went? And is it your understanding that Jeremy Pruitt was the last piece of this investigation to be done, was the interview with him?
I think Jeremy Pruitt is. I can't say that 100%, but the feeling I have in talking to people is that there was a reason he went last yesterday, and they had interviewed several assistant coaches throughout the week leading up to Coach Pruitt's interview yesterday. I think what the sense out there is that the depth of things are probably greater than some people even thought it was going to be when they went in there to do an interview or talk about it. Because, look, when you go in there and you're dealing with investigators for multiple hours, as Brian Niedermeyer did, and obviously as Jeremy Pruitt did, they're not asking you about one isolated situation, okay? They're asking you about a bunch of different things. That's a long, long time to be in front of lawyers. So I think the biggest takeaway is there was a lot of questions to ask. I don't know what the results of those questions were, but obviously they had a lot to get to if you're spending that much time speaking to those two. And Austin, we believe that those two guys had the longest FaceTime or meeting time with investigators of anybody else that they've talked to at this point.
That's right. You know, they talked with more than just those two coaches, but everybody else I've talked to, the meetings were, you know, seemed to have been much smaller in time for the other coaches that were interviewed. So, it sounds like most of this surrounds these two guys. And of course, you know, ultimately Jeremy Pruitt's, interview going, whether it goes last or not, but his interview is going to be lengthy because he is over the entire program. You know, not just a one recruitment or, one, position or whatever else. He's over the broad reaching program. So, you knew his conversations were going to take some time.
So where we stand right now, when you look at the NCAA investigation and just looking sort of outside in, is this still just in-house and with the Kansas City law firm, or is the NCAA on campus or looking into it, or is there a scenario where Tennessee turns over everything they found in this investigation, says it's pretty serious, this is where it's serious, this is where it's not, here's what we're going to do as a university, we're going to eliminate 5 scholarships, this coach is getting fired, we're moving forward this way. Is there a scenario where the NCAA says, okay, great, looks good, you guys are fine? Or is it automatically going to be a big, large-scale NCAA investigation?
I don't know the answer to that. Do I think the NCAA is monitoring in some way as to what's going on at Tennessee? I mean, I think that's probably a fair assessment. Typically what happens in these situations when you use a firm like the group that Michael Glazer is a part of, they conduct their investigation, their interviews, and everything that they do, and they present their findings in a report to the university. And in that finding and report, they have recommendations on, okay, here's how the NCAA would view this. Here's what our recommendation is to combat this concern that the NCAA would have. And a lot of times from that comes the self-reported violations. Okay, we're going to self-report these things, and here's our self-imposed punishment or penalties, if you will, a la what Florida did. The unusual part of this one is everybody's been following this every day now since the middle of December. Okay, the Florida situation, that was Florida did their own in-house investigation. They get everything together, they get their findings, and then they turn their findings over to the NCAA and their punishment to the NCAA for approval. But the NCAA didn't know the depths of what all Florida was going through at that point. They do in this one, because this one's being covered every day by the media out there. So we don't know exactly how this one is going to play out in terms of the NCAA's monitoring and their involvement. We know how it typically works, but nothing about this has been typical since the story broke on December 19th.
So many big stories this week we haven't even touched yet. Kevin Steele going back to Knoxville. Wanya Morris leaving Knoxville. And at VolQuest, they have reports and possibilities of, for all the big names leaving Tennessee, there are some big names on Tennessee's board that college football fans are going to know that could possibly be transferring to Tennessee that we'll ask the guys about as well. And your phone calls, 615-737-1045, 737-1045. Load up those phone lines with your questions for Austin Price, Brent Hobbs, and our VolQuest Power Hour.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Delivered by Edley's Barbecue, the VolQuest Power Hour with Brent Hubbs and Austin Price rolls on. A lot to discuss this hour. We welcome your phone call, 615-737-1045, 737-1045, if you'd like to chat with Austin and Brent of VolQuest.
So, guys, the big question I know you're getting in the general's quarters, and all Vols fans are asking this week, what does the hiring of Kevin Steele mean about the future of the program? Is this Tennessee and Philip Fulmer hiring a future interim head coach that could bridge the gap if something goes south with the investigation? Or is this Jeremy Pruitt hiring one of his good friends to immediately improve that staff? That's a no-brainer when he's on the market and he's a Tennessee alum.
I think it's Jeremy Pruitt hiring one of his close friends. And coincidentally, Brent, it is someone who could bridge the gap if a change was made. I think, why can't it be both? Like, I don't think that Kevin Steele was hired to be that guy, but I also think that, you know, if something happened, it would make sense if he were that guy. So, yeah. You know, I mean, that's where I'm at on this thing. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt was the one that reached out to Kevin Steele. He's the one that wanted Kevin Steele on his staff, much like it makes a lot of sense, let's say, for Rodney Garner to coach the defensive line at Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt started this movement in terms of getting Kevin Steele to Tennessee once Kevin Steele was not going to stay at Auburn. Did Philip Fulmer have conversations with Kevin Steele? Sure, because if you're Kevin Steele, aren't you asking questions? I mean, absolutely. And he's known Philip Fulmer for forever. So, you know, you've got two guys who know Kevin Steele well, but this is not – Jeremy Pruitt is happy Kevin Steele is on his staff. This is not a situation where he's going, well, what does it mean for me? Because he's the one who said, hey, let's get Kevin Steele on the staff because he's available. Auburn's paying him a lot of money not to coach, and we can get him at a decent price, and he's going to make our program better. I think the interesting thing is Kevin Steele choosing to take this job as opposed to some other opportunities out there. And I think he just felt like he wanted one more run through Tennessee. He's got obviously a soft spot in his heart for Tennessee, and I think he wants to see what he can do to try to help this Tennessee program in whatever way he's asked to do moving forward.
So whenever you guys heard this, like everyone on social media said, oh, they're hiring their interim head coach. You firmly don't believe that.
Well, no.
Okay.
I mean, it can be both, as Austin said. Okay. I mean, if Jeremy Pruitt is not the coach at Tennessee, does it make sense to name Kevin Steele the interim head coach and have a transition there? Absolutely. Absolutely, it makes sense. What I'm saying is the narrative of Kevin Steele to Tennessee started with Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt's the one who made this movement and got Kevin Steele's attention to listen to Tennessee as opposed to take another job out there.
Let me be a cynic for a moment. I know I have such a hard time doing this, and everybody's going to have a hard time believing this. Yeah, it never happens, right? So the two hires made by Tennessee right now are Kevin Steele, the guy who coached with Philip Fulmer that he knows well that went to Tennessee, and Dan Brooks' son as an assistant strength coach who also happens to be a guy who coached for many years under Philip Fulmer that he knows well. Now, the Kevin Steele-Jeremy Pruitt relationship is one you guys talked about that makes a lot of sense. But, again, if we're trying to read the tea leaves and get some sort of – if there's not going to be an outright statement by the university about Jeremy Pruitt coming back in 2021 and you're looking for a sign he's coming back in 2021, I keep waiting on that offensive line coach to be hired as a sign that's going to happen. Are the two hires of Kevin Steele and Rhett Brooks, Dan Brooks' son – any indication that he's coming back, or is it just still a wait and see when you see those moves?
I'm with you. I understand where you're coming from. The offensive line hire would be, to me, the final nail in Jeremy Pruitt's officially back. You know, but, you know, I don't make a big deal out of them hiring Dan Brooks' kid because, you know, ultimately he's an assistant strength coach. They have several of them over there. And they'll always have several of them over there as long as there's a strength program. So it just makes sense. He's been at several programs that warrant, you know, him having some experience to be in this position. Tennessee had an opening with Byron Girardeau going back to South Carolina Brent. And this one makes a ton of sense. He's been at Central Florida. He's been at Arkansas. He's, again, grown up and kind of matured and is now to that point where, you know, coming home made sense.
Jeremy Pruitt interviewed Rhett Brooks, had a conversation with him, spent half a day with him in the process. But I wouldn't read too much into Rhett Brooks because that's an hourly employee who's also going to work with the tennis team, probably going to do some golf workouts, you know, with the golf team and strength training. He's not the head strength coach, okay? He's not the guy that is attached to the head football coach, you know, the way that, you know, some people want to, you know, want to make it out to be that way. So I don't read too much into that. But, hey, Chad, you're exactly right. Until the chancellor says something, what's our conversation about? You know, what does this trip to California mean? It means they're in California today. Beyond that, I don't know. Because this thing has gotten to the point that until the chancellor says something, there's speculation, and there's going to be speculation. And until she puts it to bed, that's the way it's going to be, and she's elected not to do that to this point.
Austin, Brent mentioned golf workouts. What do those entail?
That's stretching. Stretching.
Yeah, I mean, it does include a lot of stretching, not a ton of weight stuff, but a lot of calisthenics.
Jumping jacks.
Austin loves the range. He was a big range guy.
Yeah.
He loves to go to the range and hit balls all day long.
Well, that's what I'm doing. When Hubs is answering a question, I'm over here playing PGA Tour 2K21. You know,
and Hubs rambles so long in his answers that Austin can get the front nine played.
Get two or three holes in the answer.
Do you guys have a sense of what was discussed with the lawyers yesterday behind the closed doors specifically?
I mean, I hear things, but I mean, I don't know them to be exact facts. So thus, I think speculating on it really not fair.
I guess speculation, I agree, is not fair. But I guess here's how I ask it then. You have seen coaches come and go. And on days like today, Brent, I'm curious, where is your high alert meter on news breaking?
Well, today it's not high because I know where Jeremy Pruitt is today.
Well, coming into today, after
California.
knowing that the meeting lasted until 8 o'clock last night.
Absolutely, yeah, you're on high alert. I mean, we're rolling out of bed early this morning just to you know, if we need to go to parking lots or wherever we need to go to check on things. I mean, we're not afraid, you know.
Right.
I've done that. I mean, parking lots and hallways are going to be the title of my book covering Tennessee football. I've done more of that than I have been on the practice field. So, yeah, I mean, certainly you're on high alert. I mean, and here's the thing about what all was asked. look, it's been reported out there, other outlets, Amarius Mims' name has been involved in this. Okay. The bottom line is this is about recruiting practices with this football program. That's what the investigation has stemmed around. I don't think it's around necessarily just one person. And I say that because this group of lawyers have been in Knoxville since November the 18th. And they haven't just talked to recruitment. Okay. They've talked to other coaches. They've talked to multiple people in the recruiting office. Okay. From student assistants to full-time employees. They've talked to people in player personnel. They've talked to coaches. They've talked to a lot of people, which is why the answer to that question can't just be, well, it's about this. It's about this one thing. It centers around recruiting practices at Tennessee. And was there something improper done there? That's what this thing centers around. And when you talk to people for 2.5 months, you believe that they're going to find something. It's just to how significant is it that they of what they find? What's the significance of it?
To put it bluntly, and this is, I could go to any college in America, even the local junior college, and if you dig hard enough, you're going to find something that somebody did wrong.
Right.
And so, like, they're going to find things they did wrong. The question is did they find, you know, the white whale?
Is this less about, because I think when people say, oh, you know, Tennessee cheated and they're still not winning, and, oh, there's NCAA investigations, people automatically assume that bags of cash are involved. Right, they're going out and just actively giving cash to pay players to come to Tennessee or wherever the program may be. Is this less a, quote, bags of cash scenario and more about recruiting practices around official or unofficial visits and what goes on those visits? Or what are you hearing on that front? Because Tennessee fans want to know just how serious this is for the future of the program, not just Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, we all want to know that. I mean, everybody wants to know that, you know, and the reality is all I can say for sure is that it centers around their recruiting practices. Okay. And that involves visits. I think that involves communication with people and that type of thing. I mean, is there a guy in an unmarked car dropping a bag at the corner for somebody to go pick up? No, I don't think that's the case. Cause I don't think that's what happens in recruiting. But you know, it's about all-encompassing things in recruiting, and I think visits are included in that. How serious is it? I don't know. You know, the NCAA in recent years has leaned more towards punishing individuals severely than they have, particularly in basketball, than punishing the school as bad as they once did. Would that be the case here? Well, who all was supposed to know? Who all was supposed to monitor? How big is the failure to monitor? Is it level one? Is it level two? Is it level three? Are there 10 level threes that make it a level two in the eyes of the NCAA? Are there multiple level twos in the eyes of the NCAA that can make it a level one infraction? Does it fall all at the head coach's feet? Is it at one particular assistant's feet? You know, is it all about the recruiting office and a failure to monitor there? There's just so many broad-based things. And again, I continue to stress this. They've interviewed people for 10 weeks. 10 weeks.
Right.
Not 10 days, 10 weeks. So it's encompassing a lot of different ways, and the results of it can be a variety of different things at this point.
So Wanya Morris enters the transfer portal this week, former five-star offensive tackle. How big of a loss is this for Tennessee, and is this the biggest transfer so far to leave the program?
Yes, no doubt about it. I mean, like, you know, and I get some people – you know, might argue Ty Chandler because he's done more. He's not the most productive player. That would go to Ty Chandler. But to me, he's the biggest loss because, again, you're pretty full at the running back room. Tennessee's got some decent offensive linemen behind Wanye or, you know, and I think it's more important than anything is, like, what happens with Jameer Johnson? Does he return with the extra year of eligibility? You know, I don't know if anybody can answer this at that point. You know, does Kayron Calvert leave? He's been rumored to be possibly going in the portal for a while. He's yet to do so. Darnell Wright, obviously there's speculation about him. So, I mean, like, I think that the loss of Wanye is far greater than anybody else.
So some big names possibly transferring to Tennessee, at least that they're talking to right now that you guys reported on, Big Cat Bryant. At Auburn, being one of them, what can you tell us about Tennessee's interest in him and maybe some other names that Tennessee's looking to add to this roster, not just subtractions?
Well, Brent, he makes the most sense of anybody because he's one, he's realistic. Two, he played high school ball for Shelton Felton. And three, he just played for Kevin Steele. And, of course, as I said earlier, I think it makes total sense that Rodney Garner ends up at Tennessee. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition or if Tennessee has to go in another direction. But, you know, he just makes sense because he's going to know people here. You know, and if he's going to not go pro and just change colleges and be able to play right away, Tennessee makes probably the most sense of anybody.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, and obviously Tennessee's looking for help. You know, somebody can get to the, you know, to the quarterback, play off the edge on the defensive line. Again, he knows Kevin Steele and would know Rodney Garner as his position coach. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest name that immediately jumps out at you that everybody knows. And it's a position of need for Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, the Utt kid or the Tut kid at Auburn, he went – took himself out of the portal today, you know, and they tabled the one-time transfer earlier in the week, you know, for who knows how long. Could be a month, could be 2 months. Point is, like, if you're a kid and you're starting spring semester and you wanted to go into the transfer portal, probably makes the most sense to go back to where you were, stand pat till after spring, and then reevaluate things, because the last thing you want to do is take a gamble and then have to sit out a year when you didn't think you'd have to.
And I think this is something in the transfer portal that we're gonna have to see the NCAA step in with. We saw this news yesterday that if you're gonna come back for your second senior year, your extra year of eligibility, you have to declare that at some point in time for the NFL folks, right? The NCAA is gonna have to put a window in this thing for the transfer portal on when you can go in, and if you're past a certain date, you can't come back out. This idea that you can be in the transfer portal on January 15th, pull yourself out, go back in February the 12th, pull yourself out, go back in April, it's not going to work, okay? Because it's going to drive head coaches crazy because you're always recruiting your current players. So they're going to have to put some kind of parameters and some kind of calendar in place, in my opinion, for the transfer portal.
Don't you think, though, Brent, that almost it's almost like when you sell your house. You don't want to have your house on the market multiple times. You don't want to leave it, you know, on the market for too long. So, like, going in multiple times to me is a bad look for a kid because it means nobody really is really wanting you that bad. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, my dad, who's, you know, is very just, you know, he just doesn't understand how it all works. Like, so the other night he goes, so when's that portal close? I said, it doesn't close. It's open 365 days a year. And he goes, oh. So, I mean, like, you know, like that, to me, like that's the kind of the thing Brent's talking about. I mean, I agree. I think there should be times of year you can go in. You just can't go in to go in.
Are they done at quarterback?
In my opinion, yes. If the right guy comes, like if some guy that was an all-conference performer just was not happy with the school he was at and came on the market, then sure, Tennessee's going to look at that. But I mean, like, I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
But that would be a quarterback coming to them. Right? Like you're saying they're not actively pursuing anyone in the portal.
I don't believe so at this point, no. Hendon Hooker, Harrison Bailey, Caden Salter, that'll be your triumvirate in spring practice. Brian Maurer is yet to enter the portal. I just don't see him coming back.
Was Hendon Hooker their number one target at quarterback in the transfer market?
No, I really believe it would have been Jack Cohn, who ended up at Notre Dame, but Cohn had serious issues with the fact that there was no direction about the future of Jeremy Pruitt with the program at that point. You know, I mean, he's sitting there looking at everything on Twitter and, you know, just didn't feel good about it. And you know, I understand that.
How big a loss is that? Like, what's the difference between him and the guy they got?
Well, Cone's more of a statue. Hooker's more of a dual threat, you know. So, you know, Cone's a guy that once he gets moving can kind of get north-south and moves okay, but he's not got a lot of wiggle. He didn't, probably a little more deceptive. He's not a total statue, so that's probably not a fair assessment. But he's more of your traditional pocket passer, Paul. He's not going to be one that's, you know, doing anything inside of a zone read or anything like that. Whereas Hooker is, you know, if you watch some of his highlights, it's easy to say, just close your eyes and see Josh Dobbs.
A difficult question to answer here in terms of measurement. Can you quantify, though, what the investigation and the lack of, we've been mentioning the chancellor statement, has meant to the open recruitment of the portal for Pruitt and his staff, trying to get people to join his team in Knoxville?
Well, I think it's been hard both directions. It's been hard for guys out there in the transfer portal who are looking for a home for the spring semester that need to make a decision by this week, this weekend. You know, how interested are they in Tennessee? You know, probably pretty interested. How concerned are they about what may happen at Tennessee to the point that they say, you know what, I can't take a chance there, and I'm willing to look somewhere else. And then conversely, you got guys sitting at home for the last 2.5, 3 weeks since the Texas A&M game, 4 weeks, whatever that number is. They're reading stuff on Twitter. They're calling, you know, coach, what's going on? I'm going to be fine. You know, everything's going to be fine. But it doesn't go away. It's still there. 4 weeks later, the same question is being asked that was asked the week of Christmas. And so those kids have questions. That's why Tennessee is, you know, flying a private jet to California today to try to convince a guy that, hey, everything's going to be okay at Tennessee. You need to come back and play at Tennessee. So, you know, it's caused plenty of stress, and it's caused plenty of trepidation on both from both directions, trying to keep your roster as well as trying to add to it. So I think it's been difficult. And I think at some point in time, you're going to have an answer. This thing can't drag on forever. I mean, and somebody's going to have to come out and clearly say to the media and to the fans, this is what we're doing with the program. He's our coach. He's not our coach. Blank. Done. That's got to come sooner rather than later. The kids deserve to know that. The kids that are committed to lay it on the line for this program, I'm going to soapbox here. You know, Austin's on the back nine now, are going to be in a situation where they have to have an answer. They deserve an answer. It's incumbent on the university to give the student athlete the answer. It's only fair.
At this point, timing's everything. I've said that for several days on our site. The timing's everything on all these things, whether it be position coaches moving, players staying. And so right now the timing is just bad. No, there's no winners in this. It's as simple as that. There are no winners in any of this. If they make a move, a few fans are going to go feel like they won because they wanted to change, but the program lost. Tennessee lost. The coaches lost. The players lost. Everybody lost. Because let's say they make the decision on Monday to get rid of Jeremy Pruitt. Classes start 2 days later. So kids, are they going to like revert home and run back home and try to find a new place? Or are they kind of stuck? So then you're going to have parents going on social media upset. Like all this stuff is just bad. The timing of this and the way that this has, the way this has kind of unfolded has just not been real ideal, period.
By the way, midterm enrollees who were signees in December are moving in this weekend. They're to be here tomorrow.
Phone lines are open. If you got a question during our VolQuest Power Hour about Tennessee football, basketball, whatever you want to get into, give us a call. 615-737-1045, 737-1045. There is a basketball team to talk about. There's a second attempt this week to play Vanderbilt that, as of right now, is planning on happening tomorrow evening in Knoxville. We'll ask the guys about that and this top 10 Tennessee basketball team.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Many think this music is for Austin Price. No.
No, I would say more Brent Hubbs.
This is for Chad Withrow.
Backstreet Boys would be more in Brent Hubbs' category than Austin Price. What a golden age of music right
so
here.
Pathetic.
Late 90s.
I got a song from everybody today.
We had I don't even know what music played. We can't hear it on our
own. It's Backstreet Boys.
God bless you.
I want it that way.
So I got a song from everybody today. We played some Dave Matthews for Hutton. I played No Surrender from Springsteen, and that's Chad Withrow's choice.
It's a classic.
100%.
So sad.
Brent Hubbs type of music.
Yes.
No. I'm going with Gary Allen's Chasing Airplanes.
That's a great one also.
There you go.
Big fan of that song.
Very fitting for today.
Does he know he's not going to catch the airplane unless he's in an airplane?
I don't know.
Let's go to Alan up first on the phones. Rapid fire for the VolQuest Power Hour. Final segment here. Alan, welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. A basketball question, if I could, please.
Sure.
Do you guys look for John Fulkerson to come back next year? And also, do you look for E. Pons probably to come back next year? And is it just my imagination, but if he doesn't have a future in professional basketball, does it bear looking into for him to possibly look at being a tight end on the football team? And I'll hang up and listen.
Eves Pons is going to the NBA when the season is over. He nearly went to the NBA this past offseason, so he will not be back. This is his final run.
He also will not be a tight end for Jeremy Pruitt.
No, he will not be a tight end.
Set the record straight on that.
Yeah, he could play volleyball in the Olympics. You're right, Austin. In terms of John Fulkerson, you know, I think that it's probably not in his plans to come back, but we'll have to see where that's at the end of the year and what the opportunities are in front of him, what kind of year he has. I wouldn't rule that one completely out, you know, but I mean, I think John probably would look to try to play professionally somewhere next year if he could. But again, it could be possible that he could return, much more of a possibility than Eve Pons. I don't see any way Eve Pons is back at Tennessee for another year.
Let's go next to Randy in Springfield. Randy.
Hey guys, how's it going today?
Great.
Quick question. I was just wondering about T. Martin. I know that his contract and several of the other assistants' their contracts are up at the end of the month. I was just wondering if you guys had heard any more about what their status is and if Jeremy Pruitt is still going to be the head coach. Do you think that T. Martin will be retained and stay? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
It doesn't feel like at this point that Tennessee's in a position has had interest in renegotiating anybody's contract who's currently on Tennessee's, you know, in Tennessee's program. So at this point, I believe T. Martin's contract is going to expire at the end of the month, and I would lean towards him not being back. Maybe they get something done in the next 2 weeks, but it doesn't feel like it, and it hasn't felt like that to this point.
We will go next to Michael in Nashville. Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I got a football question for you. So there's two guys that are in the transfer portal, Big Cat Bryant that played at Auburn and the tight end in LSU. What is the chances of us possibly getting one or both of those?
I think that getting Big Cat Bryant is very realistic. Eric Gilbert, you know, it depends on who you talk to. I know that he's got interest in Tennessee. I know that for a fact. But, you know, again, the kind of, you know, cloud that never goes away is something I think that's given him pause. Plus, I continue to be told that he's kind of been battling some issues himself. So, you know, we'll see. And the other thing, Brent, is, you know, if they table the one-time transfer for another month or two, does that not give everybody pause unless you're just, you know, just determined to leave the school you're at, to stay where you're at and see what happens? Because ultimately, kids don't really want to set out. They want to play in most instances.
Yeah, I think if I were advising a kid right now, I'd say stay where you're at, go through spring ball, and evaluate things at the end of spring when there's more clarity from the place you're at. There's also more clarity in what the NCAA is going to allow and not allow.
From one Michael to another, Michael from Nashville next up. Hey, man.
What's going on?
Hey.
Let me ask a question. Just think about this. Why would we hire a coach twice? You're not gonna say, okay, we're keeping Pruitt. They've already hired him. So if you are waiting for an explanation for them to say, so that would embarrass the university too, to say, oh well, now we're gonna keep him. It doesn't work like that. They don't know nothing.
It does when there is an investigation going on that the head coach is in the middle of.
Yeah, absolutely. With all the speculation out there,
you
know,
I mean, you don't think the players on this team needed reassurance from somebody up above Jeremy Pruitt that he's going to be the coach at Tennessee? You don't think recruits need that? You don't think assistant coaches or potential hires need that? I mean, absolutely, you got to come to the table with that.
Couldn't we say
there are coaches on this staff that have had opportunities elsewhere, some of which have chose to stay because this is where they want to be, some of which have, you know, went ahead and at least, you know, entertained the possibility just to have some semblance of a plan for them in case it don't work out here. And then some like Will Friend who decided to move on.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
We go next to Steve in Hendersonville. Steve, welcome.
Thank you. I have a two-part question. First, concerning the investigation, do you think that Jeremy Pruitt has kind of gotten crossways with some people up there and made some enemies? I know Philip Fulmer's got his back, obviously, but I understand that maybe he has gotten crossways with some people who do want him out. And the second part of my question is the statement by Kevin Steele the other day where he said, I look forward to working alongside Jeremy Pruitt. Now, that wasn't feel for how this was going to turn out. Wouldn't somebody say, hey, not so fast. You shouldn't be putting out a statement like that. That's
well,
my question.
Well, sure. But at the when he's hired, he's Jeremy Pruitt's the coach. I mean, what I mean, if they put out, if he puts out, hey, I'm looking forward to working with Philip Fulmer, what are you calling in and asking today? Right? I mean, look, Jeremy Pruitt's the head football coach at Tennessee. Kevin Steele was hired as a defensive assistant to work for Jeremy Pruitt. What does it look like a week from now? Guys, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like Sunday. You know, I mean, we'll see. But as of now, Jeremy Pruitt's the head coach and Kevin Steele works for him.
And they both are currently on a plane headed for California, which means there's probably not going to happen anything today. So that, you know, that's the one thing about putting the news out of them going to California. It kind of does slow the either the Twitter or the message board, kind of like what's happening. And then here comes rumor. Well, no, you know where they are today. So, you know, tomorrow, the next day, anything can change. But today they're in California, San Henry, and you know, I don't think anything's happening.
And if caller Steve's available, we could use him for updates at the zone. He had quite a radio voice.
Oh, yes. Let's go to Scott in Cross Plains, final caller for the VolQuest Power Hour. Hey, Scott.
Hi, guys. Hey, question for you. Assuming this ends and Pruitt is removed in the next, say, 3 or 4 days, do you think that Tennessee is in a position where I understand they're not allowed to touch base with people behind the scenes, coaches, to feel their interest, but do you believe that they already have, say, a short list of people? And if they do, do you have any opinion on who two or three options might be? Because I don't believe this Hugh Freeze stuff. I don't believe Lane Kiffin. What do you guys think about? I don't think either one of those guys will be hired by Tennessee. Am I wrong?
No, I don't see either one of them being at Tennessee. I don't at this point. If there were an opening. Every AD, every person should have a list of names in their pocket every year, just in case, you know, as Tennessee learned with Lane Kiffin, I'm not sure Mike Hamilton had a list of names in his pocket at the, in late January when Kiffin left, you know, in the overnight deal to Southern Cal. But as an AD, you better have a list of names as a possibility there. I think, you know, if there were this job, if it were to come open, I think one of the interesting things, if I were a candidate, I got to know what this investigation looks like, because what are you getting into here? Are there repercussions for the university? Are there sanctions potentially coming for the university? And again, I don't really want to get into speculation like that, but he's asking the question. That's something as a candidate you got to do all your research on before you even determine whether or not you would be interested in a job, you know, at a school, whether it's Tennessee or anybody else out there. You know, I mean. It's why Ole Miss kept Matt Luke, right? Because who else was interested in taking that job at that point, given where Ole Miss was in the middle of an investigation? They needed a guy to bridge the gap, and Matt Luke did a good job bridging that gap. He didn't win enough for him, so they made a change, and now they have Lane Kiffin. But Matt Luke was the guy. He was the glue guy because he was an Ole Miss guy who held everything together for them while they went through the stormy waters of Freeze's departure and the NCAA investigation they had down there.
Guys, the VolQuest Power Hour flew by. Another one in the books. Appreciate you, and happy Easter, Austin.
Yes. Get those eggs up and out.
Why, because of my shirt?
No, because...
No, because you celebrate everything 3 months early.
Valentine's Day was last week for him.
Yeah. Austin didn't even catch the joke from Hutton.
I thought it was a poor attempt.
Oh,
I used it last week, so I got it started. We're all about
both poor attempts, according to Austin.
No, we're shooting off fireworks. Bye, baby.
There you go.
Yeah, Easter's too soon.
Independence Day.
Hey, here's hoping you guys get some rest.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, same to you guys.